Hey guys, this is Nikki.
This is Sam.
Welcome back to So What? What's Next?
I spent the bag on the bundle. Turn around and take a dip and make a double. Listen, baby, with me you ain't never got a struggle. I'm in the game 650, catch a triple double. Watch it tumble, tumble, watch it tumble. Tumbling, 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 this is coming in. Keep on tumbling, watch it tumble, tumble, watch it tumble. Tumbling, tumbling, tumbling.
Guys, we have a great show planned for you today. Before we get into today's topic, we wanted to definitely thank you and for patronizing the So What? What's Next pod. Your love online, your feedback and text messages, tweets, even in our DMs on Instagram have been nothing but positive. We thank you so much for, you know, subscribing. One of the things that Sam and I wanted to definitely share with you guys is that your feedback is monumental to us. And in order for us to be successful, you know, we want to make sure that we give you guys kudos and praise for, jumping on and listening to us talk about things that matter today that you won't care about tomorrow. But while we have you, if you could do us a favor, go ahead to your platform, whether it's Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud. If you could jump on to those platforms and subscribe, rate, leave a review. Also, if you could jump on YouTube and do the same, it's all under the same heading of So What, comma, What's Next. We greatly appreciate it. One of the things that's worked for me is when I wake up and have to send the top five messages out to my roster, I go ahead and share the link for the So What, What's Next pod. So, you know, I just want to give you a way to kind of start your day off good. If you need to send those good morning text messages to, you know, your top five, go ahead, share that link, and help us get some more listens out there. Hey guys, welcome back to So What, What's Next. How you doing, Sam?
Nikki, I'm just happy to be back here with Wi-Fi amongst the living. this season has been crazy because I'm having the most technical difficulties of all time, man. It's getting crazy right
here. Yeah, technology is great when it works, right?
Yeah.
You know, but when it goes left, it goes left. Like, I'm not even going to lie to you. I've had AT&T come out here at least three times to fix my Wi-Fi, all because either someone cuts the line and disconnects the Wi-Fi, or it goes down, or, you know, just some freak accident happens to where they have to come out and do some repairs. And I'm like, at this point, I should get a couple of months free.
Let's be real, Nikki. Say what it is. It's the landscaping company. Let's just be real. Let's be real about this. Let's say what it is.
It really is. It's really the landscaping company because I'll be fine, and then they'll come out and they'll cut.
On Monday, they come out on Monday.
My people come on Tuesdays, right?
On Tuesday, okay.
They get here and it's a mess. And I'm like, I already know what's gonna happen. I just wait for it. I just wait for it.
They won't bury the line.
Well, here's the thing.
Out and bury the line.
Well, so AT&T will do it, but they don't bury the line until like 2 weeks later. If they buried the line within like 2 days of coming out, this wouldn't be an issue. But they wait for like 2 weeks. So even if the landscaping company misses it the first week, they damn sure get it the second week and cut the line. And now I'm sitting up here trying to, you know, figure out how I'm going to get emails out. Now I have to use my cell phone to tether and use the hotspot.
And then the kids get involved with the hotspot. They want some hotspot. They need a little hot.
Right.
I ain't going to say fuck AT&T because they could be a potential sponsor one day.
What? Look, we can't mess up our bag while we in our bag, okay? That's what
we're not going to do. Damn, AT&T. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I'm doing good. But how are you doing? How are you doing?
I am fully healed from the wisdom tooth extraction. Well, I had all four of them removed. When at the end of June, like even when we recorded last time, I think I was like maybe a week mm-hmm. from, you know, the extraction. So I feel like I'm fully healed. I still can't do everything that I want to do. Okay. Take that how you will. but I'm close. I'm so close back to being fully restored. So, you know, that's good news. And by the time this airs, I will be on a beach in Anguilla and hopefully on my second or third drink.
Oh, damn. It must be. I got to, you know what? One day I'm going to find out how the other side lives. One day I'm going to find out how the other side lives. I'm telling you.
Look, it's you know, one of those things where I tell people all the time, if you work hard, you better play hard. And I am one of these people where I make sure that I enjoy myself when I vacay. I go places where maybe others have not been, or where places where people have been and told me where I need to go visit. So, you know, we just going ahead and making sure that we get all these stamps and whatnot before the passport expires. Because what I'm hearing is it's taking like 6 months for people to get their passports. Have you been hearing that?
Yeah, I'm in a long waiting process right now. So probably got the vacation somewhere where I don't need a passport.
How dreadful.
Yeah, that's happening.
But you know, happy that we're able to get this episode, you know, on air.
And you know, the last time we spoke, that was before I got canceled by black women on Twitter.
wait, we gotta get into it.
You want to do the black spotlight first?
That's the perfect segue.
Okay.
Actually, we gotta tackle that with Sam because you brought it up. So that brings us to our topic around Maria Taylor, Rachel Nichols, and ESPN. So just to kind of, you know, level set, footage came out. I'm sorry, audio recording came out of Rachel Nichols speaking to another gentleman, I believe, an advisor of LeBron James, a high-ranking official within the sports community in the sports world. Where about a year ago, during the height of the, you know, social injustice protests and things like that, where Rachel Nichols basically had on a device that was still recording, even though technically she was not on air. Where she discovered that ESPN was going to allow or award Maria Taylor the opportunity to cover the NBA finals from the bubble.
Yep.
Rachel Nichols was not happy about that. The audio that was released was a little salacious because it just basically pinpointed where she highlighted or kind of placated to the point of racism. Where I guess the gentleman basically said he's tired of Me Too. He's tired of
The woke movement.
He basically said, you know, hey, I'm tired of all of this stuff. Like, you know, we basically got a vantage point of what happens in the room when we're not there, right? Rachel Nichols basically was saying, you know, Black Lives Matter all of last year. She interviews tons of Black men from the NBA, right? She was looked at as a media darling from the NBA as well. And apparently, I didn't know, but she has a large following of Black men who are willing to wear the cape for her. In the instance.
Is that what we're doing?
That's what we're doing. You know, just because these are facts, you may not like them, but these are still facts. Getting back to the point. Basically, Rachel Nichols was upset because she felt like Maria Taylor, let me take that back. She felt like she should be covering the NBA finals, number one, because it was in her contract. Number two, because she felt like ESPN was doing a bad job in reference to their commitment to diversity, as everyone was saying last year that they were committing to from a corporate standpoint. Maria, and she basically said, you know, don't give Maria what's mine. It's mine. Don't let her take what's mine. And, you know, because that was the bite that we all heard. A lot of people didn't care to read into detail the actual specifics of it because, again, that one thing, that one soundbite is what reverberates for, specifically, I can speak for myself as a Black woman, how that impact, you know, impacts me or how I've encountered those types of situations. But Black men basically said, hey, she didn't do anything wrong. You know, she has a right to question her job. And that led you to tweet what, Sam?
Oh, that is funny. That is funny. I like this because I like this because usually, Nikki, we are not at odds on this podcast. So this is going to be the very first time that we are at odds on this podcast.
I don't think we're at odds. I think more so of us understanding the vantage point, right? Right. I think you and I have spoke about this before, but you know, we all know that representation matters, right? Mm-hmm. And I think in this instance, from what we heard to what, you know, was actually done, all to me is a culmination of bashed egos, fragility, entitlement, things of that nature, because there are statistics that basically tell us that the people who benefit the most from affirmative action, people who benefit the most from diversity hires, DEI, right, are mm-hmm. white women.
Right.
So my whole point was, hey, Rachel Nichols, you have a right to question, right? You have a right to question why you were not awarded the right to cover the NBA finals, because it's in your contract, right? You have the right to question why you're not, you know, actually doing the job that you were told you were going to do, or the assignments you told you were set to have. But when you basically say that someone is taking what's mine, and you also say, when someone says, you know, I'm tired of Black Lives Matter, I'm tired of Me Too, and you scoff and you laugh and you don't correct or you don't address it, you're playing right into those politics where it makes it very, very difficult to understand how, well, no, it's not, it doesn't make it difficult because we now know that you're placating, right? That you're pandering mm-hmm. to us, because all last year you were telling us Black Lives Matter and how much you support, you know, what the NBA is doing and all these other different things. And then you have an opportunity to correct it. You have an opportunity to address it. And mm-hmm. the first thing you do is address Maria Taylor.
Right.
When 100% of your energy needed to be directed to ESPN. Maria Taylor literally.
Well, I thought.
She's a bystander in this.
Well, I guess. Well, okay, go. I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's almost, you know, it's one of those things where as a minority, you know, and being a Black woman, where soon as I heard that clip, it's triggering, because there's instances I can tell you between myself and a lot of my other women friends, working professionals, they have heard or they have felt the same sentiment. Now, am I saying that Rachel directed all of her energy to Maria? No, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
What I'm basically saying is, when people tell me that this isn't racism, I have a feeling if it's Holly Rowe, if it's Doris Burke, if it's another white woman that they said, hey, you're going to cover the NBA finals, I feel like Rachel's tone would be totally different. And she would be able to truly, again, attack ESPN for their lack of diversity and their lack of commitment to actually putting women there. So, you know, the first thing ESPN does is they highlight that they have Elle Duncan and they have Lisa Salters, and they started naming all their good Negroes, right?
Right.
So it's not 100% racism, but the pedagogy and the amount or I'll say her lack of responsiveness,
right,
to quiet or quash it, it is what's alarming the most to me.
Let's unpack in front of what the beginning, right? So she's talking to somebody that's mentored LeBron James, right?
Mm-hmm. He's an advisor, yep.
So she's calling somebody to help advise her in her next career move, right? That's what she was doing.
Was it to advise in her next career move, or was it to vent in reference to
it was to advise her on how she should play the situation, right? Because I thought when they was talking about the article, she was taking a phone call to get advice on what she should do. Like, he's somebody that you call, like, he's like a fixer. He's somebody that you call when contract disputes and stuff like that, right? Or you're trying to, you know, what do they call these people? These, like, power broker type people that make the deals for you, that tell you how to make the
crisis managers, right? PR people, right?
Yeah. Stuff like that. So my thing is this. I think that people want to use that situation and make that situation on every job, right? And I get that. part. I get that part. I really do get that part. But I think my problem is it's only a finite amount of those specific jobs, right? Only two networks cover the NBA. That's TNT and ESPN. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now, this is just me speaking in general terms. Like, I don't think Shaq should be on TNT. He's fucking terrible to me. You know what I'm saying? I think Candace Parker is way better than Shaq. You know Absolutely. What I'm saying?
Now that I will say, comedic standpoint, Shaq is funny. Candace funny. Is much better in the analytics, right?
It'd be great if they had like a Shaq corner. If they had like a Shaq and Chuck corner where they, you know, shoot the shit and talk shit to each other.
Make it a segment versus the... But yeah, that takes away great. From it because Ernie and Kenny... Okay, never mind. Go ahead. Keep going.
Well, yeah, I'm just getting into like these jobs, right? But in the Maria Taylor situation, first of all, black women love Maria Taylor, right? And I'm not saying it's a problem with that. No problem with loving Maria Taylor. Love Maria Taylor, right? We all watch Maria Taylor grind from the ground up, right? She's on Comcast Sports doing a dog report, you know? She started off very low. We all kind of watch her grow and get into this big evolution in her career. So, especially in Atlanta and Georgia, everybody's rooting for her, Maria Taylor, right? And I do think that Rachel Nichols is like, yo, I've been doing this longer than you, but they're throwing you above me. And I think the only thing she said wrong was bringing up the color thing. Because once you do that, now you make it about race. You make it about race. You know what I'm saying? So now people can't walk away from that because they like, oh, we knew you was fucking racist.
And you just confirmed it. Right. Even if that wasn't your intention. Right.
Even if that wasn't her intention. And I think that, and we talked about this last year, how like a lot of white people are having...
attacking their conscience.
Well, attacking the country, but we called it something else. What did you call it last year?
I probably said something insightful.
Very insightful. basically, you saying they got fatigue. They got
ally fatigue. That's
ally fatigue, right? Yes. And she's caught up in a situation where, damn, I really want this job, but I can't get this job because they want to spotlight black people right now, right? And I don't think she was fucking wrong. I don't think she's wrong about what ESPN was doing. I think she's calling out what ESPN did. And I think that's exactly what they did, right? And I just think that it's tough because guess what? It's only one other place that you can go to do that same job, and that's TNT.
Well, so here's the thing. Maria Taylor is in the midst of contract negotiations with ESPN. So this whole incident happened a year ago, right? So it wasn't like it happened a month ago. It happened a year ago, and it only came to light because there's a deposition and there's a lawsuit out there in reference to contracts and pay on behalf of ESPN. And this was brought up. This was leaked on purpose, obviously, right? In order to taint negotiations and things like that. Because soon after this happens, the next article comes out saying that ESPN is in the middle of negotiations with Maria Taylor for, what is it, $3 million a year? I think it was something of that nature. And as of today's date, you know, Maria Taylor is now fielding an offer from NBC where she covers multiple sports, also gets a spot on the Today Show, and gets an opportunity to showcase on other spots on NBC. And they're basically giving her an opportunity to say, hey, you see what ESPN is doing with their lack of commitment to diversity. How it is, you know, you've been dealing with this whole thing. You know, you dealt with it in a classy way and we really appreciate it. and we want to give you an opportunity to really spotlight you. And I think NBC is offering her north of $5 million annually. So, you know, again, Rachel Nichols is always going to be okay. She has, Barbara Walters in her corner. She has Diane Sawyer in her corner. She's always going to land on her feet. So whether it's ESPN, Fox Sports, wherever she wants to go, she's going to be fine. Do I think ESPN proved her point in saying that they have that they're overdoing it by trying to put their black people or their diversity people in front? I think as soon as they came back and said that Maria Taylor and Malika Andrews were going to cover the NBA Finals, it's kind of like, okay,
ESPN, she wasn't wrong.
Y'all are doing the most. I would have personally loved for Rachel Nichols to attack this from an ESPN network only point, right? Like, your beef is with Maria Taylor didn't tell them not to give it to you. She got an opportunity. She's going to take it. So she's going to say yes, right? It's the NBA finals. I really think that if Rachel Nichols would have literally stuck to the facts and said, this is what's in my contract. You're not honoring my contract. You'll hear from my lawyers. Mm-hmm. Right? But she's speaking to an advisor, and she doesn't even know. Like, she doesn't even know. I want to say she does know she's being recorded, because anytime you have a mic on, there's a chance that the mic is on, right? So you have to always operate knowing that you could be recorded. Because the young woman who actually uncovered the recording was Kayla Johnson. She told Maria, like, hey, girl, Rachel is playing in your face. She don't even like you. Look what she said.
Right.
So the whole year, Maria's kept this quiet. She hasn't said anything.
Right.
Rachel hasn't said anything about this whole situation. Now that it's public, she comes and gives a half-ass apology and tried to, you know, come with the waterworks, because in some instances she knows that she's fucked up.
Well,
in some instances she knows that she has gone down the wrong path, because now you sound like a hater.
Right. But so I think the conversation we get into is privilege. This is the conversation we get into, a privilege.
Absolutely.
And I always, and I try to tell people this shit, and I, you know, this might sound like, I don't know, this might just sound bad, but I tell Black people, let's stop giving a fuck about privilege, right? And let's start giving privilege to our own people, right? Because a lot of time what happens is we don't have a problem with benefiting from privilege. We have a problem when we don't have privilege to benefit from.
Yeah, right? if we're not getting the same opportunities, right? That's it.
Yeah, we get upset about that. But, you know, I've got promoted off jobs, and they'd be like, Sam was a minority hire. I heard this before. And I'd be like, yo, that's good for me. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but what they do is they put the Black person against the other Black person for that one job. And it's terrible. So, but when you get minorities and Black people in these areas to hire and create these diversity hires, we should go just as hard as they do, hire 4-1 to 3-1. You know what I'm saying? But we don't do that type of stuff. And that, I think that's more of the issue for me, is like, yo, we, like, as Black people, like, we are, when it comes to entertainment, we create a vast amount of the entertainment. You know, so we should be more demanding on who we want covering us and who we get interviews to and who we talk to, instead of giving interviews to certain people. You know, I think it was a story a long time ago that Michael Jordan would only do interviews at one time with Stuart Scott.
And Ahmad Rashad,
And Ahmad Rashad. So he would highlight them. So he got Ahmad Rashad promoted because he would only talk to Ahmad Rashad. So, I mean, sometimes I think that these Black people in power need to empower other Black people. You know, and I think that's a little bit of the problem, too, because we can't expect for white people to fix their racism. Like, we have enough hundreds and hundreds of years of them showing they're not going to fix that shit. You know what I'm saying? We need to start, I ain't going to say we need to start segregating ourselves, but in a way I am saying segregate ourselves.
But you're bringing up privilege and power structures, right?
Right.
That's why it's called systemic, because these things are built into the system in order to oppress or in order to control, right? So right. I agree. If all the NBA players said, hey, I'm no longer giving interviews to, you know, white reporters, or I'm only going to give interviews to Malika or to Maria or to Lisa Salters or, you know, whoever the case may be, you know, I feel that there's opportunities there. But I feel that, you know, these athletes are also multi-million dollar corporations themselves, right? Their brand, right. They're responsible. So if I only do interviews with one type of reporter, if I'm saying this on, you know, if I'm making it plain and known, then how likely am I to get other sponsorships for other things? Because Black and white people buy these things, right? It's a delicate balance, like,
it's,
you know,
a double-edged sword.
People like Michael Jordan can do that because of the talent because of his ability to, you know, control the narratives and things like that. Like Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was really good at that as well, right? Being able to control the narrative and how he wants things to be delivered in reference to his awesomeness, if you will. But, you know, I would say the macro point here is, as a Black woman, I understand those microaggressions. I understand having to be quiet. I understand having to hold your tongue when you know someone has said something or someone doesn't believe you deserve something or someone feels like you took something from them when in reality, you know, that you have the credentials, you have the experience, you have the work that shows, you know, it's self-proof that you deserve the opportunity, but you get inundated with the, you know, the different things that hold you back or may oppress you or may not give you the true vantage point or opportunities like the others.
Yeah, you know, and it's crazy to me because I thought that they could have really spotlighted these power structures at the top. Because ESPN, even though they're taking a look.
Tell on themselves. You think they're going to tell on themselves?
Well, I'm just saying, like, ESPN is kind of like in the backdrop of all this shit, which is Disney and ABC. They're all in the backdrop of all of this shit, right? And, like, this could have been an opportunity to put everything in the front where you're saying, yo, why do y'all have it set up this kind of way, right? Like.
And I think that's Rachel's point right there. I think that's her point. Now, mind you, she's basically saying, like, you know, if you don't have anything for Maria to do, then, you know, that's not my problem. Don't give her my jobs, right? Or don't give her my opportunities. And that's literally what I think she was trying to convey is that ESPN, you guys need to figure out how to honor what you said that I'm going to cover and what I'm going to do. And if you have an issue with not getting the right people or minority hires or people in place to handle these things, it needs to be addressed, right? I'm not saying that you got to carry the torch for all of that, but I'm saying your gripe is with your company, not the individual who has the opportunity.
Right.
So.
But you know how it is, though, Nikki. When people get mad about one thing, people catch strays. I catch them all the time on the timeline. Like, people catch strays out there. People be mad about one thing, then you catching a stray on Sunday on some other shit, and you'd be like, yo, where's this coming from? Like, oh, no, I'm sorry. You just caught a stray. But, and people got mad at the funny part was Kendrick Perkins getting caught up in all the wash, right? Because he know he's fucking terrible at his job, right? So he's like, yo, what y'all want me to say? Like, I'm barely holding on here. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I got to do what I got to do here. But
like, shit, you know, I taught worse than Shaq with less career stats. You know what I'm saying?
Literally. He is there by the grace of God because I still don't know how Kendrick Perkins is allowed
by the grace of LeBron.
That's it. That's it right there. That's it. You know, but hopefully Rachel will get that hating spirit out of her body and out of her system. And, you know, all the best to Maria Taylor. But speaking of haters.
Oh.
Have you been catching this trend on Twitter where people are talking about different tweets where basically they're saying, well, when did you realize, you know, he loved you? Or when did you realize your ex hated you?
Right.
Have you been seeing that?
I haven't caught that. I haven't caught that one yet.
Well, there's this trend out there and like different people are engaging the timeline, asking people, mainly women, when did you realize XYZ, and people are then quoting with stories or examples of when they realize that, you know, their boyfriend loved them or that their man was going to propose or that someone hated them. But one of the ones that caught my eye, my girlfriend Joe, shout out to Joe, follow her, her podcast, Have a Cup with Joe. But needless to say, she sent me the tweet, and as I'm reading it, the tweet says, when did you realize your supposed homegirl actually hated you? This tweet alone has roughly 18,000 likes and about 12,000 quote tweets. So a Black woman asked this question, when did you realize your supposed homegirl actually hated you? And when you go into the replies, it's mainly Black women. And when you read it, it's like, my God, like, you know, is anybody really friends? Or, you know, does anybody have any good people in their corner? Like, for example, when one girl said, when the congrats stopped and the competition began, that's how I knew she hated me. The other one was basically saying, you know, when I realized she gave me a drink that another man gave her to see that it wasn't drugged, she asked me to drink it without me knowing. when Whoa. They kicked me out the group chat and showed up to my neighborhood asking me questions about things that I've said in a text directly to this friend. When she ghosted me and started hanging out with a girl that she used to talk shit about. So, like, these responses, you know, at my big age, like, you know, friendship is everything to me. Like, I think I tell you this all the time. Like, my friends are my family. Like, there are times where I will literally bend over backwards to be there for my friends because the bond is strong. Like, we all know where the bodies are buried. So we love each other. Sometimes we help bury those bodies.
Okay, good fellas.
But needless to say, Sam, my question to you is this. I know I gave you a couple of examples from a woman's perspective, but who do you think are the biggest haters? Is it women or is it men?
Of course it's women. It's not even close.
No hesitation.
Like, seriously, like, I've known women that would be, that would literally have sex with their friend's ex-boyfriend. Like, will be like, oh, it's cool. They was in a relationship 5 years, have sex with ex-boyfriend. Like, we'll throw a whole friendship away over some crazy shit. Like, we'll copy the outfit the other friend wears. Like, just like, women do the most craziest shit to one another that I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, we'll purposely not show up to birthday dinners. Purposely, like, do this shit on purpose. Don't show up to people's shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And go off on Facebook about it. And I'd be like, yo, women are fucking weird. Like, I remember this one situation. I was talking to this girl. And I used to always tell, I'd be like, damn, man, do you got any friends? You know what I'm saying? She always wanted me to do shit with her. She'd be like, hey, let's go shopping. Hey, let's go do this. Hey, let's go. I'm like, God damn, I just want to watch football on Saturdays, drink liquor on Fridays, drink on Saturday, grill on Sunday. I want a regular, like, old man life. You know what I'm saying? Wind me out on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She want to do everything together, everything. I was just like, make these jokes, like, damn, where's your damn friends at? Because she always said she had friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, as the great boyfriend that I was going to throw her a birthday dinner at this nice steak restaurant, right?
Okay.
And I was going to invite all her friends that she talk about, right? So I went on Facebook, invited all her friends, invited like three of my homegirls that was my friends. So, you know, everybody can meet, mingle, you know, blah, blah, blah. Nice.
Yeah, you're trying to introduce her, trying to get her, you know, acclimated to the friend circle. And hopefully she finds somebody that she can connect with.
Right. I invited all her friends. Nikki, do you know that everybody that be on her Facebook act like her friend? You know that none of these motherfuckers showed up to the birthday dinner? Not one person showed up.
None.
Just friends. Just my friends. And I'm sitting there looking like, yo. Now I feel like an asshole because this whole time I'm telling her, damn, why don't you get some damn friends? And that shit was hitting deep.
Yeah.
That shit was hitting deep. But, man, women are evil because, and the reason why y'all are evil because.
Oh, here we go.
Y'all go the extra mile with evilness, right? Like a dude would be like, yo, I don't fuck with old boy no more. I'm done fucking with him, right? And we be done. We don't text him. We don't call him. If he at the event, we don't show up to the event. You know what I'm saying? We done. Women? Nah. It's deeper than that. I got to go on Facebook, so throw a couple subliminals out there. You know what I'm saying? I got to do some, you know, I got to do some live videos about certain situations. I ain't going to say nobody's name. And it's just, it never stops till it comes to a head. And it's like, I don't understand why women are like that. It's like weird to me.
Yeah, I'll give you a personal example, right? I mean, this is the reason why I say men, I think men are big haters too, but I think they're more slick with it. And this is what I mean, right? Like,
really?
Whereas if two women are there and they both like a guy, or if this guy is hitting on one girl and the other girl doesn't like it, she'll literally say, how long is that wig? And snatch it off her head, right?
Wow.
Like, yeah. Like just being a direct hater, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Whereas men will drop like little Easter eggs and kind of blow up the spot. Case in point, I was in the gym. So I'm in the gym getting my workout on. And of course, me and these the two other guys, we have the same trainer. So we're all kind of in the same circle working out, right?
Right.
So my trainer gives me my exercises. I go to the Smith machine. So one of the dudes comes up and he's just talking. I mean, literally no flirting or anything. He's just like, right. Hey, how you doing? You about to do 205 or 195? And I'm like, I think I'm going to go over to 205, yada, yada. Help me right. put the weights on, right? The other dude comes up and just goes, hey, man, how's your newborn doing?
Wow.
Because this is your second baby, right?
Yeah. So niggas like that, I can't even fuck with nobody like that. Like, niggas like that, I can't even.
And like, it was so funny because it was so random because we're literally just putting weights on the Smith machine, right? I'm on one side, on the other side, and he come and pull up acting like he's so concerned talking about how's your newborn and how's your second baby mama. Like, come on, bro.
So any nigga that acts different when females are around, I automatically cut. Like, I can't do that shit.
When women are around,
when niggas be like, because I remember I had a homeboy that was like that. We was cool. But every time a girl come around, be like, man, Sam, you remember that ragged ass Crown Vic you had? I'm like, yo, why are we talking about that, my guy? Why are we talking about that?
You know what I'm saying? What does this have to do with anything right now?
I mean, what are we doing, my guy? Like, that was 2 cars ago. So I'm like, okay. This nigga's a hater. All right. This nigga's a hater.
That's
okay.
That's what I mean. Like, I feel like men hate, but they're just very slick with it. They dirty Mac differently, right? Whereas women are mean and vindictive, and they'll be like, girl, how are you feeling after that abortion? And you be like, what?
I
just feel like, you know, we go for
the juggle.
We literally go for the dagger in the heart. And it's so crazy because as I was reading the quote tweets from old girl saying, when did you realize that your girlfriend or your homegirl actually hated you? And I'm reading them and I was like, oh my God, I've seen this or I've heard this. And there was one instance where I had to check myself. I did this, you know, when I was not as good of a person as I am now. But when I did it before, I was kind of like, oh, wow, I really was hating. And what I realized, the one thing that made me stop is when I realized that no matter if I know how trifling, irresponsible, or crazy my girlfriend is, I know that because of my experience with her. This man who just saw her for the first time don't know none of that.
Right.
Right? So even if I do hate on her, he's still going to sit up here and try to get with her because he don't have that experience with her. Like, he don't know my homegirl crazy. He don't know she's irresponsible. He don't know she's trifling. So even if I point these things out, it's not going to necessarily stop anything.
Yeah, because he might be there for a good time, not a long time.
Come on now, say that. Say that word. Say that. He may just have one season. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And this is what he's trying to capitalize on, right?
He ain't trying to make that house a home.
And I even had to, I had to tell one of my homegirls that too, right? I would talk to one of my homegirls and I'd be like, yeah, I went out such and such. Oh, you know, oh boy, and she'd be like, yeah, I know, oh boy. And I was like, oh yeah, me and him exchange phone numbers. We're supposed to go out, you know, and get some chicken and beer, right? And I would just mention off some bah humbug. And within a week, she's already hit him up or DM him and basically was trying to link up with him too, right? So the first time she did it, I kind of was like, okay, whatever, you know, like I'm really not interested in him, but you know, I needed something to do because there was nothing to do. And
I heard Atlanta's kind of vicious like that though. I heard Atlanta kind of has that kind of.
And you're right, but the thing is, I didn't expect it to be my friend because this is someone who I actually considered a friend. So when she when she did it the second time, and at the time it's not registering to me that this is her MO. She's actively doing this. We had a barbecue at my old house. And of course I invited her, and I invited a couple of my trick-or-treats too, to the function. But
you gotta set up a scenario where you win. And I like
everybody
that.
Knows like these are my trick-or-treats.
Right.
So everybody like that. Know that these people are hands off.
Right.
So, and she knew that they were as well. So when she was in their face the whole time, I was like, oh no, this is intentional.
Right. What are we doing here, Charlotte?
I was like, oh. So I kindly told her 2 days later, because I had to get my EQ back. I was kind of like, hey, friend, you know, I said, I'm going to just be honest with you. I said, yeah, I was being a little messy by inviting my people here, but you know they're my people. And I was like, no matter what you say or what you do, you're never going to be me.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm like, and if they do kick it with you, then they were never mine to begin with, right?
True. Which is true.
At this point, you're not getting the return on your investment, right? That tells me that either this friendship isn't what I think it is, or that we need to sever ties, because this is going to come to a head and I don't like the way, you know, this is going. So she basically told me that I was wrong, and that, you know, it wasn't what it looked like, and I need to stop being so possessive and all these other different things. And I said, no, I just know how to move around you now. If I know I can only go 10 feet with you, I'm only going to go 8. Right. So if I know you trying to come after what's in my honeypot, then I can't even bring you around.
Yeah, because a real friend gonna tell you like a real friend, like, yo, Sam, like you fuck with her. You
just right.
She like, is that for everybody? Or that like,
that's you?
You know what I mean? Like, that's you?
Like, that's you or that's you?
Yeah. And I'm gonna be like, nah, bro, that's for everybody, bro. I don't care. You know,
man. Shout out to my girlfriend. I do care. Right. Shout out to my girlfriend. There was this one dude that we had a mutual friend. So when he hit me in the DM and I saw we had a mutual, and I was like, I know this particular mutual that you probably met her like on a dating app, or that y'all kicked it or whatever, right? So I hit girlfriend up and I was like, hey, so-and-so hit me in my DM. I said, I don't know what's going on with y'all, but I'm just letting you know. And she was like, oh, well, did you accept it? I said, well, I need your permission, right? Is it okay to accept it? Because at this point, you know, this is going to go one of two ways, girl.
Friend, what I don't understand.
The key thing she said was, oh, you can accept it, Nick. The game is the game. And when she said that, I was like, this is why I love you.
Yeah. Because, you know, but you know what's funny to me is, like, what I can't figure out is, like, why do people, and my granddaddy's always said, he's like, if you're trying to figure out if your woman cheating on you, you probably already met the person. So,
yeah.
It's like, why is everything so, like, intermingled all the time? That's what I've never understood.
You know that old Chris Rock joke where, I don't know if you remember, I think it was on Bigger and Blacker when he did this one, when he was like, you know, women will see, you know, how you treat your wife or how you treat your significant other. And instead of asking you, can you hook me up with a man like you?
Right.
They'd be like, nah, I want you. Like, instead of asking for somebody in the friend group or something like that, they literally go after the person who's married to said friend or whatever. Right. And it just goes through. Like, it's crazy to me, because they said, you know, it's usually somebody you already know, somebody you already met.
It's always that. It's
And I'm telling you, the old folks be knowing. They know what they're saying. They know what they're doing.
They tell you. They say, if you want to know who it is, just go around the corner. Like, it's never that far away from you. I promise you.
It's never that far. It's someone who you know. And
always weird.
All jokes aside, typically, that's what it's been. Like, even, you know, I'm not going to out my people, but when I look at it, I'm like, whew. That's a little too close. Like, You in your same subdivision. You going to the next door neighbor. You ain't even go down, you know, 4 or 5 miles down the street. You in the same neighborhood. Like,
oh, don't even get me started on the next door app. Don't even get me started.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go that far. But I thought it was a good topic because when I read that tweet, it just really jogged my memory into some instances of what, you know, what I've even done in my past and what some friends have, you know, done to other people that I know, right? And it makes it difficult because coming back to the birthday party or the birthday dinner celebration, now you can't invite this person because this person offended that person because they slept with somebody's ex from 5 years ago and all these other different things. And it just, it's crazy. That's why literally I've never had an issue with any of my birthday functions. Knock on wood. And I say that because I literally keep it clean. When I tell you I keep it clean, Sam,
right.
I keep it clean. I'm talking about Mr. Clean. I'm talking about Lysol disinfectant clean. I'm talking about Micro Brand 24 clean, like bleach Clorox clean, because I don't want any issues, because at this point, my friends are my family.
Right.
You know what
and
I'm
that's,
saying?
That's the thing. I cannot, like, betrayal to me is the deepest shit ever to me. Like, I cannot move. Like, you know how some people be like, oh, that person fucked over me, but we cool now?
Yep.
I'm never cool again. You know what I'm saying? Like if you talk shit about me behind my back and I thought we was cool, I can't be cool with you again. Like, I cannot sit in your presence. I cannot join. I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like,
yeah, because you know that there's a level of fake or a level of phony there. Yeah. It's not genuine. It's not authentic.
And yeah. I've had friends like that I thought I was cool with that was telling people other shit, and I found out about it. I'm like, damn, now we can't be cool no more. They be like, man, you know what? They've even come back to me and apologize. Like, yo, man, you know what? I'm sorry about that. Out of this, I'm like, you know, you don't have to apologize. It's fine. I'm okay. And I don't call their ass no more because I can't deal with a certain, because it's like, I think when you get into any type of friendship, relationship, there are lines that you can't cross, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
So if you're willing to talk down on me in front of other people, when I talk high on you in front of other people,
yeah,
that means we don't see each other the same way. So I don't know what you're capable of, because especially if you're lying on me. Now I don't know what you're capable of. You know what I'm saying? So for all I know, you can have me set up and killed. You know what I'm saying? I can't.
Yeah.
I don't have good intentions
for me, right?
Yeah.
And that's my thing. My girlfriend actually asked that question today in one of the group chats, the married girlfriend group chat. Right. Which is funny because I'm in there and I think I'm the only one that's not married. But
yeah, I'm about to say, what are you doing in that hanging out? You just pull up your chair chill out.
You know, they try to, you know, they try to yield me to marriage, but I'd be like, I see how, you know, things are going here. So I we'll come back to that. But she said, how do y'all handle situations where you have a friend that has a friend that you don't like and they obviously don't like you, right? Better yet, how do you handle that when you don't even necessarily like the OG friend, right? The initial friend. And I basically told her, like, I don't. Like, how do you handle it? Oh, I don't handle it. Because I've worked so hard at my big age to get to a place of peace that I'm not going to let anybody disturb that, right? Now, there are times where I have to be cordial because we're in the same friend group and, you know, we know the same people. We're in the same professional organization. So, of course, if I see you, I'm going to greet you. But just how I said earlier, if I know I can only go 10 feet with you, I'm only going to go 8. And I may not even go that far. I may only go 7, only because I know exactly what you're capable of. And it's one of those things where there are some people that I was able to make up with. We said horrible things about each other. And of course it was over a guy and neither of us are with that guy. But at the time she didn't know that I was dating him. I didn't know he was dating her because he was lying to both of us. And she went on Twitter and like literally laid into me and it hurt me to my core because again, she was, you know, a close friend. She was there when my daughter was born. She was, you know, there, like she's literally family, and this guy was playing both of us, and you know, we just were so vindictive towards each other because again, you cut me, I'm gonna cut you twice. So
and that's always weird though, right? Like if you're friends, like, why do you choose the other? I don't know. That's weird. Like,
well, he was messy number one, right? Because we lived on opposite sides of town. She lived North Atlanta at the time, and I lived South Atlanta, which I'm still here. But long story short, you know, it was easy for him to, you know, be in both places, right? Because we would never run into each other or see each other or anything like that. But I say all of that to say that it got to a point where we weren't even talking to each other for like 2-3 years. And then I ran into her in like a community bathroom. We were at this event together and she's in the bathroom crying. I have no idea why she's crying. Literally, I mean, she's like literally boo-hooing, like something is wrong. So I walk up to her and I'm like, I can't walk out of here and not say anything. Walk up to her and I'm like, hey, what's going on? I was like, even if you don't want to tell me, can I just like hug you? Because I was like, you need this right now. And she literally laid into the bosom and I'm just hugging her because I don't know what's going on. When she finally comes up and she tells me why she's crying, we immediately jump into prayer. Like that's literally what we would do, right? We jump into prayer and I was like, hey, I just hope you're able to receive it. I said, even if you don't, just know that I'm going to continue to pray for you. And, you know, she was going through something and she hit me up like 2 weeks later. And when she hit me up, she was like, you were the first person I told outside of family that this was the issue. You know, it made me realize how much I missed this. And I'm like, I missed our friendship so much. And I was like, you know, I owe you an apology. I said, even if you don't apologize for what you said and what you did, the things that I said and did to you were not right. And that friendship has been rekindled and saved. There have been instances where people have said even worse things than she did about me. Right. And I can't, even though I forgive, I just know that if you're going to that depth, kind of depth to hurt me, like I said, if I love you, I always love you, but stay away from me.
Yeah,
but stay away from me.
I can't do it. My mama tell me, she said, Sam, you can hold a damn grudge. Because I'd be like, mom, like, oh, such and such want to speak. I'm like, mama, I don't want to talk to that person.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. I don't hold the grudge because by me holding that grudge, they're holding me prisoner. They're holding me hostage. They're holding me captured, right? So that's why I no longer hold the grudge because I can see you and still wish the best for you and not even have anything to say to you, right? That's just the space that I'm in. But, you know, thank God for my therapist. Thank God for my offspring because that's literally what has helped me to realize if I can forgive a toddler for spilling red juice on my carpet, mm-hmm. I can forgive someone for saying something unforgivable to me or about me or whatever the case may be, because my whole thing now is leaving people with their grace and their dignity. Like that's my biggest thing. Cause you never know when you have to cross these bridges again. But my macro point is, women are haters, but I think men are more slick with it.
I don't think men, well, you know what, though? I don't want to say that because I've been seeing some weird shit with men lately. But, for the grown-up men out there, I think we stay away from people we don't like or we don't fuck with. Like, we be pretty like, yo, I don't fuck with that person. And that shit
is how it is. Look, okay. Okay.
I do that. I can't speak for everybody else because I do that. But I do see niggas that be talking to each other that be like hating on each other. But
right. Like, and I be scared because you know,
you just told me you think he broke. Why y'all going somewhere together?
Because you know men talk more than women, right? And who do the men gossip the most with? With women. Because when I tell you, I be getting the tea from dudes and I be like, what? What happened next? And who said that? When I tell you men are the best gossipers, oh my God.
Gossip with the best stuff. I mean, best.
And that's what's so funny because men hang with men they don't like. Just like women hang with women they don't like because it's
the
Okay. So that means it's true because you're the exception to the rule, right?
Well, I might be because I don't see how people do that. That shit angers me because people be complaining about the same people all the time. Like, yo, why you keep hanging around this person?
because of access, because of privilege, because yeah. I have a girlfriend that works in PR, right? She's one of my best friends and I love her to life. She works in PR. So she's usually, anytime there's a big movie release, anytime there's, you know, different TV show premieres, things like that, she always hits me up and she's like, there's two tickets for you at will call, right? I don't mm-hmm. ask her for anything, right?
Right?
I knew her when she, you know, was working in, you know, call centers. I knew her when she, before she became a hotshot, you know, PR agent, right? Right? So she and I have a bond that goes back prior to whatever she's done professionally. So when right. I tell you we've been in the trenches, we've been in the trenches, okay? So right. when I see some of her other friends and she tells me some of the things that they said or they've done or how they, you know, backdoored her in reference to certain guys that she's dating and things like that, I'm like, well, why, friend? Like, why is this person still around? Like, like, we are at dinner and wait, this is, and she'll be like, oh, this is, you know, XYZ. And right. I'd be looking at her like, XYZ, who did that? Like, right. and why is she here? Like, in my mind, I'm having this whole, you know, thing unfold. Like, why did you invite her? And then yeah. I realized in that world, in that network, there's only so much access that you have, right? It's all about relationships. So even if right. you hate people, you still have to be connected to them because this is the person you may have to work with to launch this next movie or this next TV show or whatever. And I just told her, I said, hey, I get it. You're playing the game, but right. I'm like, that has to be mentally and emotionally draining.
And exhausting. It's got to be.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be. But, you know, that's why we pay our therapists good money, because they help us to navigate all of this and to, you know, to continue to do the work. So
the only person I accept any betrayal from is Chance. Like, the shit he does is pretty fucked up, but I got no other choice.
He's a toddler, Sam. Chill on my right. boy. Chill on my dude.
That's the only betrayal I accept, though. Like, I mean,
chill on my guy. Chill. Chill.
Like, yo, bro, we talked about the kid in the bed shit. How many times I got to discuss this? But
absolutely. But yo, we're reaching about an hour on today's pod. What else you got for us before we get out of here?
I got nothing. What are you watching? What are you watching on TV?
Oh, what am I watching? Oh, I don't know. I'm kind of getting.
What movies have you watched? Have you watched Black Widow? Are you into Marvel?
I am not. I am not. Wow. So but I do wow. enjoyment seeing how much Black people really are digging it. You know, I do okay. like seeing the feedback and the tweets and the posts and texts about, you know, the different movies that's coming out, whether it's DC or Marvel. But I'll be honest and tell you that I finished. I've been on HBO Max so long, I felt like I was neglecting Netflix. So I jumped back in there and I went to Netflix and I was watching. I finished watching Sex Life.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's pretty good, to be honest. I mean, you know,
is it about these like three-way couples and four-way couples and shit?
No, it's not about throuples or anything like that. It's basically about this woman who's I would think that she's having a midlife crisis, but you know, she's to the point she used to be a wild girl. She was a wild girl, and you know, the guy that she loved. I'm sorry, guys, if this is any spoiler alerts, if you haven't watched it already, but she's trying to navigate life now as, you know, a Stepford wife, right? She's, you know, a mom of two. Her husband is an investment banker and he's very vanilla, and she misses, misses the tantalizing and, you know, thrilling Here sex she was having prior to Here being married. So it's basically the story of her navigating what that looks like. So season one is pretty good. It's definitely going to get a green light for season two, the way that it ended. I also was watching Why Do Fools Fall in Love, because I love that movie. I vividly remember the Black excellence in that movie, right? Because that was like at the height of, the height of Lorenz Tate. I think, you know, Hallie was definitely at the height of her stardom. Vivica was, you know, in there. Lila Rashawn, you know, a lot of the Black beauties from the 90s, the early 2000s. You know, I love that movie. Anything about, you know, musical acts from back in the day, I'm going to watch. And I actually watched Love Jones today. So I've been kind of in a nostalgia type of vibe, right? I've been on my 90s shit for a little bit, but... You know, like I said, by the time you guys hear this, I'm going to be on the island. So I've probably have watched two or three more movies from my first class Delta seat.
I thought you flying charter. Don't
do me.
I thought you were getting a private jet there.
Don't do me.
I'm actually a little surprised.
Don't do me. I will say that.
That's next week, huh? That's next weekend.
that's August.
August. Oh, sorry about that.
But no, this is one of my vision board lists. You know, I am very, very, very big on vision board. So I put on my vision board, I made a specific goal saying that I wanted to travel to an island that I've never been to before, first class, for, you know, 4 to 5 days. And that's exactly what we are doing. So I am excited to explore Anguilla, and I am fully vaccinated and all that other good stuff. So I've been spending some time this week catching up on some nostalgia through movies on Netflix and things like that. But tell me what you're watching.
You know me, I'm watching all the Marvel stuff. I've watched every Marvel series that's came out, including Black Widow. And I got to finish Loki tonight, actually. That's why I've been trying to stay off of Twitter, because they are out of control with the spoilers.
With the spoilers, yeah.
Oh, my God, they're out of control. Jesus Christ, people. what I'm really waiting on, to be honest with you, and I don't even want to start another TV show till this show come out, I'm waiting on Stranger Things, and I'm waiting on last season of Ozark.
Fourth or fifth season?
Yeah, this is supposed to be the last season of Stranger Things. So I'm waiting on Stranger Things, and I'm waiting on Ozark.
Last season of Ozark, yep.
Yeah, I'm waiting on these two shows, and I'm like trying not to start anything else until these shows come out. So, you know.
Yeah, I think that's smart, though. I think that's smart. Like, you don't want to really get in. So that's why I think I was hesitant about starting Manifest, because I know that there's going to be some movies and things that I want to see, some series that I want to binge, because everybody's on this Manifest kick now, because I think it was just announced that they canceled it. And I think Netflix may be trying to pick it up or buy it, kind of like how they did with Designated Survivor.
NBC canceled it, and now Netflix is going to try to pick it up.
Like the same thing with Designated Survivor, right? Remember how I think ABC canceled Designated Survivor and then Netflix bought it for season 3?
Yeah, and I think they did that with Lucifer too.
Yep.
But
so
I am pissed off about Lovecraft Country not having a second season. I'm so upset about that.
Here's the thing. 18 Emmy nods too, right?
Yeah.
I honestly think that some streaming platform is going to pick it up, because I think Misha Green just signed a deal with some platform. I know the it came as a shock, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, HBO was not going to give it a season 2. And then Misha Green kind of let it out like, oh, this is the direction that we were going to go for season 2, right? I think she put it out there on Instagram. And then she just inked a deal with a platform. I want to say it was Apple Plus. I think maybe Apple TV.
It was Apple.
I think she just inked a deal with Apple. And I'm hoping that she brings Lovecraft Country to Apple. Like, it's kind of hard to kind of fathom what you do in season 2. But I think you just have, it's kind of like American Horror Story, right? I think the seasons don't hinge on each other. It's just all individual.
I got to be honest though, Nikki. And I might be wrong. People are going to get mad about this hot take.
Uh-oh, but
I didn't think Jonathan Majors was that great in that show. I mean, I thought it was a good show, but I thought his performance was like, like, yo, my guy.
You weren't moved
You are really dialing the fuck up for no reason at certain times in this show. But
no, you're talking about Jonathan Majors, right?
And he's normally pretty good at everything he does, but I thought he was like, on like level 100. Yeah, he was a little bit too much at every episode. I was like, he was almost hitting what's my boy's name that's terrible that nobody wants to be honest about?
Which one?
Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, like, he was giving you them type of vibes?
Yeah, he was giving them type of vibes. I'm like, yo, man, y'all got Jesus Christ. And Michael B. Jordan, you know, I ain't gonna get on Michael B. Jordan. I hope he makes a lot of money and he's having sex with Laura Harvey.
But Hollywood is winning. He's winning.
Yeah, he's winning. He's definitely winning. Don't mind what
he plays the same character in every movie, but you know.
I mean, he doesn't know how to play anything else.
He does a great job of playing an LA dude.
I'll tell you something.
He does a great job.
What's the director name that he's always working with?
Come on, what's his name? Ryan come on. His name is right on the tip of my tongue. He says he's an LA dude too.
Yeah.
I gotta get his name. Ryan Coogler.
Okay. If he's not with Ryan, when he's with Ryan Coogler, he's fucking Denzel Washington. When he's not Ryan Coogler, he's fucking terrible. Like, he's horrible. Like, all time horrible. But matter of fact, I meant to make that a meme on Twitter one day. I'm gonna do that.
That thing feel fine though. That shoulder to waist ratio that with Michael B. Jordan is just that sickening. Ooh.
I know why women like him. That's why he's getting ready to approach that Morris Chestnut area of acting, where it's like, we can throw you in a movie because black women will watch you, but we can't really give you anything.
Yeah, well, you know, black women say he don't date black women, so he went and got him one, right? So
yeah. Black women say black men don't date them, which is right, not true.
You know, I don't generalize black men like that, you know.
I don't know why they do that. The black women on Twitter have decided that black men don't date them for some reason. I tell them all they gotta do is check their DMs. Awesome. I tell them, I say, if you just check your DMs, I'm pretty sure some black men hanging out in them. Just
answer. Yeah, but the thing is, you gotta want them. But that's
true too. But then say that. Say the black men you want don't want you. But then if you say that, that's an indictment on you then.
Ooh, we're gonna go ahead and end on that note.
All right.
Hey, you guys remember that Sam said that and I did not.
Keeping it spicy.
Yeah, but you know, I can't wait to talk to you next week. I will be all tanned and whatnot, and
okay,
we'll get back to it. But hey guys, thanks for tuning in to So What? What's Next, where we cover topics that you care about today that you won't remember tomorrow.
I've been wide awake for about a month. Rounding it up, mama done told me none of easy. Like, boy, get your ass up. Chewing up, I put in the work. Now, blessings counting up. Look at them haters frowning up. So I flex to rile them up. Hey, look at my boss, bend the cars. Check my flaws, you can ignore. Come to the house, give you a tour. Take your shoes, the dirt on my floor. Out of the taste, good. She would have more, she would have more. Out of the rain, the blessings coming in pour. Yeah, I spent the bag on a bundle. Turn around and take a flip. Struggle.